The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel at messagecenter.show/YouTube.
This is Daryl as a service. And, hey, move your lips, man.
I am a ventriloquist. I don't have to move my lips to talk. I can speak.
Let me try this.
So, yes. Go ahead. This is not our normal show, everyone, in that we would both be on video. Had some video issues. Actually, computer issues. I don't know. The video was coming through fine. But, so, you get a picture of me. for the show, and hopefully it's entertaining. So,
oh yes, it is. It is. And look, might I add though, there is an audience, a new audience that is going to be missing out on this, Daniel. They don't get to see the visuals. We've launched a podcast version of us finally.
Woohoo! Yes, we are launching an audio podcast of this same show. So if you are one who likes to enjoy hearing our wonderful voices as you drive into work or walk into work or just chilling and you want to go to sleep and you want to, and we have that effect on you, then you'll be able to download our audio podcast. We are getting those things, getting the podcast providers all up to speed on our show, and we will announce those as they come. We are actually already on one. Which is exciting, one of the top two, but yeah. We are waiting on others to do that, to show our audio podcast. So it'll be fantastic.
Yep, and big thanks to David Neal, the Reverend Geek, for mm-hmm. the amazing cover art that will be incorporated into new intros and new mm-hmm. themes and all sorts of stuff. So we're really excited about it. So today I'll be having a bit of fun with Daniel's frozen face, and we'll get right into the messages. Things are going to look a little wonky because I only managed to get one scene together. So what does this look like? Oh, you're kidding. So because
awesome.
I can't capture the message center screen, which is part of the reason why I can't bring Daniel through live, I don't even have the ability to capture the messages. So you'll have to read along with us, I think.
Great.
My mouse has, died as well. So let's see if it's got some charge back.
Just all right. So just everyone can. I was not just blaming you just to blame you. Not you personally.
No.
It was actually your machine. Sorry.
Equipment.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right. So you'll just have to imagine. I can't even show you this, but let's go through it. In fact, so
this is great, Daryl. This is for our audio listeners. We're
going
to have to do a good job of describing what we're looking at. So
yep.
this is going to be fantastic. Great.
It's an equalizer.
Yes, it is.
It's like the universe meant for this to happen.
Yep. Right. Let's go, Daryl. So, we have got a lot to cover today.
Imagine. Well, but we're not going to try and cover everything, right? Because there's like 12, 13 messages there.
There's a lot.
Okay.
So let's hit the first one, which is a big one,
yes.
Shall we?
The additional expansion of control over connected experiences in office is a big one?
I have one before that, Daryl.
You do? What was that?
Pin to channels.
Pin to channels. Oh, no, I've got that a bit further up. Pin to channels.
That's amazing.
Well,
so I sorted by last updated, and pin channels in Teams is my first one. So it doesn't matter, Daryl. You pick the one you want to run with first, and let's go.
Okay. And reminding our audiences, too, that this is yet more evidence that your messages are your messages in most cases. Moving right along.
Yes.
This one's not such a big one, but it's consistent with what we saw earlier with what do they call it now? Office for Windows is how they refer to it. You can change your telemetry settings in the background so
right.
that you're not necessarily sending telemetry to Microsoft, and you've got that privacy that you can set for your organization. And this is
right.
now going to be available for Office for iOS. So we've had the other one since July, and this one will be rolling out for iOS in mid-October. Yep.
Yep.
Mac. Okay, so it's available for Mac and Windows. It's now going to be available for iOS. It's about all I got to say about that, but it's good to see the consistency of that control coming in. Perhaps we'll see Android follow suit as well. All right. Well, this one, maybe it's in a different order, but maybe you want to take this one.
This one being pin channels?
Oh, you don't... Do you see this? Oh, you see my screen, right?
Oh, I got to switch. There we go. Sharing... Oh, my gosh. You're killing me with... Okay. Yes, so... this one is MC190852. This is sharing reports for SharePoint Online. And this is all about having the ability to see into, get some insight on what is being shared within SharePoint Online. And so this is roadmap ID 27034. Here's the thing. You're going to be able to, as a site owner, which I think is a very good distinction here. You're a site owner, not a site collection admin, but a site owner can generate a CSV that shows how their content is being shared both inside and outside the organization. So there's a couple things with this message that just bothers me a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and say it now. One is the whole idea of getting information on how I am sharing is via a manual push button click, and then I get a CSV to then look at what's going on. It's a bit wonky, I think, and I'm hoping this is a first iteration. This is not a, you know, how it's going to be forever. The second thing I want to mention is there's not a lot of information about this, because what I really wanted to do is take a look at, you know, the blog post associated with this, understand where you go to do all of this, you know, getting these reports. But there's nothing. There's no blog post for this. There's no we got a nice screenshot here, and that's great. But where is that? And how do I get to it? And where are the CSV file? Does it download? Can we save it into a SharePoint, or how, you know, whatever. So it's a bit wonky. It's supposed to be in the site usage page. Great. But I'd like to see a little bit more information about that. So this will be gradually rolling out to production customers. Let's see, production customers. This is funny, in late September. And then rolling out to other environments in early October, and completed worldwide by November. That doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Quite specific.
Well, the first one is wrong, I think. Production shouldn't say production. I think it should say, you know, be targeted or whatever.
I'm thinking. Target release, first release, yeah.
Maybe, or maybe they're saying it'll roll out in October to GCC or something. I don't know. It's not very clear here. Anyway, so I guess that's a third thing that this message is like, ugh, need some TLC with this one.
You know, if there's something about what we've been doing over the last couple of years, which I kind of equate it to the tests they used to do for counterfeiting, and that it was people dealing with cash all the time, like bank clerks, that could tell just by the feel of the paper because they were touching it, feeling it, seeing it all the time. Yeah. And it's like when we see a message that is here like this, okay, it's informing of something, but it's not quite up to scratch because we deal with this a lot. Look, I think, yes, it's got to be first iteration. At least it's not PowerShell driven for poor site owners that won't have access to that PowerShell, but
No, being in the site use, I think it's great. It's just, you know, having some more information here would be wonderful. But maybe we should follow up with this later.
Yeah,
provide that for the community.
Definitely, sounds like another good 5-minute video.
That's right.
Client connectivity to Office 365 services. Got what is the almost the year countdown now? Warning, warning, 2013. Office 2013 is not going to be, it's not going to be supported. Apparently, it's still, you can connect it to Office 365, but gradually over time, it's going to become, you know, less secure, potentially less compliant because of that. You're not going to be getting the updates, so look to upgrade to Office Pro Plus or the Office 365 Pro Plus. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Microsoft is definitely pushing that update to Pro Plus, the Office 365 version you get, or Office version you get when you're a subscriber to Office 365 E3 in there. Yeah, so I think you hit that one on the head. We just need to make sure we're updating that. And in a year's time, a little bit over a year's time, we won't be able to use that older client, such as Office 2013 and 2010, to connect to Office 365. And that includes Outlook. So make sure you update.
Yeah, look, they even go as far as to say, we're going to keep this pattern going because support for 2016 will run out in October 2023. So,
Yep.
plan ahead, plan for change, as one of our three
Yes, plan
slogans
for
is.
change. Yes,
Now,
slogans is.
here's the one that's first in your list, pinned channels in Teams. What is this? What is this?
This and I think anyone who has been a in any sort of social area or media or used even Outlook on the web has known this ability to pin something. And so basically pin it to the top or always, you know, make it show always, right? So for this one, MC190856, this announcement is pin channels in Teams be rolling out gradually this September, completed by the end of October, but being able to pin a channel, a Microsoft Teams channel, so that, and also a team, but it's here specifically pin channels so that you can get to those quickly and they're at the top and be able to, because as we know with Teams channels, they will, if you don't set them up differently, they will hide. You know, if they're not being, so it's not something you're going to quite often, they will hide. So being able to pin this, and I think one thing that today I saw on the Twitters, the Twitter sphere, Jamie, one of the newest members of Regarding 365, was on Twitter and announced this, and there was a kind of a conversation she had with another user about maybe there's this other user, Christopher Webb, said that he's kind of mixed on this, that this brings in some etiquette questions, you know, behaviors of how to use this functionality. So I think this is, and I think it's a valid concern, but you know, I don't think it's a concern in saying, oh, you shouldn't do this because of that. I think you just need to make sure that you plan for this, right? That this is something we definitely need to plan for in when we're communicating with our users, right, Daryl? I
Yeah,
mean,
well, I'm just wondering about etiquette. Like, I think about, I'll describe the feature a bit more because just reminding those who might have joined us partway through. Lots of technical difficulty this morning. Daniel is moving his lips, but you can't see that. We are broadcasting now to podcasts, so this is really good for our audio audience. The feature, when I first thought of it, I did equate it to the pin folders that you can have in Outlook.
A
And
little bit,
look, I've
yeah.
got a few accounts that I'm connected to in Outlook. But I can pin each of those inboxes to the top of my folder pane, and I can just jump directly to each of those inboxes. And that's what it feels like. I can definitely see that this channel could be called anything from a certain team. It's called Launch Event, for example, in the image. But I can clearly see from the tile or the icon, this is the team it belongs to, and I can see the team name underneath. So I can quickly jump between all of these different teams. Now, back to etiquette, and look, we do need to tell our people that this is a capability. I just think it's a very personal preference. There isn't really, to me, any etiquette involved in the sense that I'm just setting it up the way that I want to use it, so I can jump to what I'm, working on most of the time. Yeah, I mean, what was the etiquette thing about?
The question, I mean, he just said, I think it can lead to bad etiquette behaviors of just dumping everything into a few channels, instead of spreading it out. And so, I get that. I just think that just like we cover things on this show, we talk about this. This is something that we need to just be mindful of and make sure that we It's an ongoing process with adoption in our organizations with tools like Teams. And this is just another to keep up with and to make sure that we're training our users how to do it properly and and understand how, you know, why it's there and what features it provides. So
what,
I think
what advice would you give? When would you pin a channel to make it really practical?
I would use this for things like I use pinning as a way to draw attention and make sure that I'm there. That's the first thing I see. It's not the only thing I see, but it's the first thing I see. So this, for me, it is about, you know, if I'm active, I just, you know, I've got a project channel or, you know, something like that to where it's something that I'm really active in right now. Yeah. I will pin it. I'll unpin it when I'm done, when I'm, you know, not wanting it to be the first thing
I see. The beauty of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Looking at this, and I know a good portion of our audience is IT pros, but also take this tip with you to others that do other work within the org that isn't tech related. You might belong to a few cross-organizational projects, and you have a role to play in that project. Maybe like for me, I'm in change management, so I've got to help with change across these three projects. Now, it's not that I'm not interested in the rest of the project, but maybe my focus is to, you know, work within the change management channel for each of those projects. Or maybe you're a champion or you're a business advisory, so you're in the channels that matter to you. In this case, we see marketing, so there's always a marketing role for, you know, a particular project that someone might be working on. So, we could keep going with that, but really interested to see that conversation continue in the community. Shall we move along with the next one?
We should.
Yeah.
Most All right. definitely.
We have a new flow available to manage the approval process for joining hub sites. I'll try and get into the habit you've got here. MC190936, because that number is universal across our tenants if you want to look it up. So the flow allows you to actually, you know, put that in place, and site owners, when they go to submit to say, I want to add this to a hub, that can be managed with the flow.
You're exactly right. When you when you're editing the hub, which means you are on the hub site itself and you go to the hub properties, one of those is properties will be to be able to require approval for people to join your hub. And when you turn that on, you will be then walk through to select and do the flow to make that approval happen. And I think it's a fantastic thing, to be honest, because we've been talking about how can we enable people to join hubs that are open, right? Hubs that are, you know, freely open for to be joined to, and that's great. But then there's other hubs that you're like, I'd rather, you know, have an approval process for that. This is perfect for that scenario. So being able to associate that flow. Now, of course, this is another feature that we're getting, functionality that we're getting, but utilizing Microsoft Flow for that. So that's very interesting. But and then the other thing I did want to mention is this does not apply to GCC. So so I don't know when it will, and I'm sure we'll get another announcement in GCC for when it is. But there's no blog post about that. Again, we have another SharePoint announcement here in the Message Center that has no blog post. There's no information about it whatsoever other than the screenshot and the text that's in here. It's pretty straightforward, but you know, there's no kind of, okay, what happens when you turn that required on, right? You know, what does it do?
And traveling through to the roadmap item, again, sometimes that will give us a bit more information, but that's pretty sparse as well. When I think of this, I go back to that project scenario where your organization that is into research and development, you're spinning up 50 projects a month. It's a self-service thing, so you're allowing project managers to create their own teams or sites or whatever. Then this is the process for you. That being able to add it to a hub for all those projects or a hub for that particular center of excellence. This is what it's all about. So yeah, good example. Outlook on the web, manual sensitivity labeling for email. So the labeling that we've seen come into Office using Microsoft Information Protection is going to be available for Outlook on the web. You can mark a message to levels of sensitivity, and that's going to apply various things to, like, say, watermarking or eventually, like, the highest level encryption as well. So it's a simple click, a simple choice, and being available in Outlook on the web is about that consistency. Good to see that come in. That is message 191074. It is rolling out late September, so we say late September, it's pretty much this week, right? And completed end of October. Again, doesn't apply to GCC, but take another good close look at that. And
I want compare this, Daryl, though, this message to the previous SharePoint messages where we've got links all over the place. And we've got an additional information link. So,
beautiful, isn't it?
yeah, it
Sensitivity
is
labels.
so it is so nice. The roadmap item is 49441 and 4944921. Sorry, that's weird. Sorry about that. But yeah, that's good. I think for those that deal with classifications, this is a big deal being able to do this just right there in the web.
If you actually start to see this in more places that you work, like this is really relevant to Outlook. You're sending something out, you just do that last click to say, look, this is sensitive, so it's important, but it's sensitive. Then getting into that habit, you're actually going to apply it to other places too, and that's where, you know, it's an adoption habit that you're developing, that you want to apply it now to documents or to sites or to other places that you work. So good to see it. Just a quick mention here about retirement of basic authentication. So it feels like it's a few posts here about wrapping stuff up and giving you plenty of notice. Again, by October 13, 2020, then basic authentication for Exchange Web Services will be removed. So shift as many of your apps as you can to at least OAuth 2. That's what you want to aim for. If you've got applications and services, move them away from basic auth.
This is in the same vein as what we talked about before about Office 2013 and lower clients. So it's the same time frame of October of 2020.
Very much related, I would say.
Yes.
We've got a couple of or few announcements here
we
around
got three.
Teams, specifically around calling features. So if you're a customer that has subscribed to the Microsoft calling plans through Microsoft, that means you can make PSTN calls, plain standard telephone network.
Wow, that did you just made that one up, right?
No, it is.
It's
Oh no, it's POTS, isn't it? I'm getting it mixed up.
switched telephone network.
Right. I was
Public
close.
switched telephone. You were close, but
Okay. Acronym network. this feature, allowing, what is it? New Teams reports, on blocked users and PSTN usage. Global admins and those that have the right role will be able to go in and have a look at how your calling plans have been used. Can also view
This is good.
PSTN blocked users. Right, so people who are blocked from using the PSTN who try to use Teams to make a call, you know, you'll be able to see that too.
More
Right.
reporting is better, right? So
More
I'm
reporting
loving
is
it.
always better. Yep.
I agree. And especially with, you know, if you subscribe to this and you have this functionality, we want to know how it's being used. And
Yes.
so it's great. So you can in the analytics and reports, be able to see those reports.
Or this blurred out person here that they don't want to shame
Ha
for security reasons. Block action reason is security reason.
And for those that are listening on the audio, it's really blurry, just
Oh
to
yeah.
let you know, in the
Yeah.
image.
Gaussian blur level 30% potentially.
That's right.
Let's get quite, you know, specific about it.
Yeah.
Second,
I'm excited about this one, Daryl.
yeah, hold music. Hold music
Hold
is
music.
important. Now, I've got a couple of buddies who work in this space, and they've got a way of being able to connect your phone system to Teams anyway. So that's all through different, endpoint devices and stuff to make that work. So they can add hold music, but this is again for those who are subscribing to the service, Microsoft Phone System, that you will have some default hold music to start with. And while you don't get the choice to change it at this stage, at least when someone's on hold, they're not hearing dead silence, which can be kind of unnerving.
Right. Am I, is it still connected? You're looking at your phone, like, what is, am I still there? So this, you're not able to, and I like how it mentions in this message, which is MC191173, it talks about for now, you can't, admins won't be able to, it says on first release, this feature is not configurable by the administrator. So that's hopefully giving us some, gives us some hope that we'll be able to configure what music is played in the future.
And that, your internal, your marketing people, the brand that you want to, put out there, it's a valuable space. If people are going to be sitting there listening, and you don't want them waiting for too long, of course, but you do certainly want to, play some music.
Yes, sir. On to voicemail.
Voicemail settings in Teams desktop client. Now I remember seeing this. What was it? End users with voicemail enabled be able to see and update voicemail settings in the Teams client.
In the Teams client
Because
itself.
I think at the moment you get taken over to a web page instead of doing it within Teams.
Yeah. And this is being able to do it in client. So MC191176, users will be able to customize additional voicemail settings, such as configuring call answer rules and choosing the greeting language. So that's cool. I think, again, what is there to do to prepare for this change, Daryl? Is there anything we need to
Well,
prepare for
the
this
usual,
change?
really. Nothing,
Yeah.
except you might
Right.
want to tell people about this capability.
Yeah, you might want to. So this is a stay informed, and there's a little bit more about, there's a link there about how to deploy Cloud Voice features, but don't, it's not going to tell us details on exactly this for, unfortunately.
I know that in a recent project or current project that's rolling out, this is a quite a useful feature, particularly for teams that want a bit more control over who's going to answer their voicemail if they've missed a call. If your team or your business, that your lifeblood is about making calls, sales calls, helping customers and partners and candidates or whatever, then you want to have some control over the person that you trust that's going to be able to answer the call and give people service rather than passing them around the ring. So this is what it's all about, being able
Yep,
to
that's
make
right.
those answering rules and push it out to a response group or a appropriately skilled group that can help that person.
Exactly.
And lastly, something that I haven't, this is the, can we say this is like an unboxing? I haven't
Unboxing.
seen this one yet, so
This is
ooh, look at the bubble wrap.
MC191186.
Ooh.
This is the 0 hour
I'm
auto
peeling
purge.
off the screen protector now and listen to that sizzle. Yep, keep going.
So this is move, fish, and spam, fish being PHISH, and
Oh,
spam to quarantine.
fish, like fat, right? PH fat.
Yes.
Yep.
Sure.
Fat dicks.
So the 0 hour auto purge is a functionality in Zap for short. That's what they call it. Zap is a functionality in Office 365. But it's moving post delivered messages to quarantine. So it actually was delivered, but then moving it to quarantine. And then, so what this is just an update to say that if you have the spam policy is set to it's different. So you can set it to redirect, delete, or quarantine, not just sending it to just quarantine. So that's my extent in knowing about this Zap and how it interacts. But we do have access there to the roadmap item, which is 55432, I think. And that is just having the ability to move items to quarantine instead of just marking it spam, being able to mark it to quarantine. Yep.
Yeah. So that it's clear, and especially if it's something that's on the list and it's recognizable as that kind of message, why bother people with it? Just take the appropriate action and zap it. Well done, Exchange team. Well done.
Yes. Daryl, this has been an interesting show. For those that are joining us via audio, you're like, why? I don't understand. But with the video being kind of wonky on our video podcast, it's definitely interesting. But I've enjoyed it. And we've covered quite a few messages here. And I've had some really good chat in the chat room. We've had quite a few of people in there. So Stephen, Collier, Phil, Joanne, saw Sarah in there, Suzanne, quite a few. I'm sure I'm missing some people. Sorry if I am. I'm sure there's some lurkers because there's quite a few.
If we're not as animated as we normally are because of technical difficulties, the audio podcast people are, you know, enjoying it the way that they will always. but yeah, the live chat, we can't read it all out. They've kept our show animated today. Thank you very much for keeping people entertained. If you're watching the YouTube stream later on, then you'll definitely see some valuable discussion there. So finishing off, Daniel, the call to action, I guess, is if you're interested in the show and sure you can't catch the live stream and you don't want to sit down and watch quality video for half an hour, then maybe you want to throw on our new podcast, and we'll be on Apple Podcast, Google Play. We are currently on Spotify, so a couple of these shows are still platforms are still going through the approval process.
So you'll be able to. So coming soon is iTunes/Apple, Google Play, TuneIn, iPodder. Of course we are on Spotify, as you mentioned. We are on you can go to messagecenter.show, which is the web address, and see all of the information and all of the links as we make them available. That will take you to the various services and how you want to subscribe. There's also the XML if you want to just throw it into whatever player you have now to get all of our updates via the audio podcast. And of course, if you want to stay with the video, you can just go to messagecenter.show/YouTube, and that will always redirect to our video podcast as well.
Awesome. Yep. So thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you again next week. Bye for now. Rolling that outro.